Welcome back. This is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Joining us this evening is the Associate Professor, Dr. Hafiz Ali Iqbal Hussein from the Faculty of Business and Law at Taylor's University. Hafiz, thanks for spending a Friday night with us, doing this live with us. I just want to get your quick response, your first look into this cabinet. What do you make of it?
Hi, Ibrahim. Thank you for having me on your show. I think looking at the lineup, you can see that many of the posts have been retained with some minor changes. Yeah? This signals a largely unchanged agenda, which means that moving forward, direction of the administration will be guided by the National Recovery Plan, and possibly we will see some fine-tuning within a week or two in terms of how the implementation of this plan will be. And I think another signal that we can derive is that this NRP will be guided by two main objectives or two main drives, which is the vaccination drive as well as the reopening of the economy basis.
Because most of the lineup is from the old lineup, and one of the main reasons why the former Prime Minister had to resign is because of the perceived failure of the previous executive. Do you feel that things are going to change now, considering that it's been staffed by the same people?
I think rather than the personnel per se, the focus in terms of investor confidence will be based on the policy and how it affects the business environment, as well as the returns that you can generate as an investor. So I think the key thing will be how we achieve these thresholds under the NRP and how do we get the nation progressing towards a full reopening and going back to some form of normalcy.
Yeah? Yeah, one of the key appointments that we saw is the retention of Tengku Datuk Zafrul as the finance minister. And of course, he has been making a lot of moves for the past 17 months as the finance minister under the previous administration. But because of macroeconomic affairs and because of how the economic stimulus doesn't seem to get the domestic consumer movement up and running, and of course, the continued pandemic that is afflicting the nation, a lot has been said about how foreign investors are looking at our country. In fact, Fitch and Moody's have even downgraded us. And do you feel that Tengku Zafrul has the wherewithal to make it work this time round?
I think generally the capital market views Tengku Zafrul as a technocrat. And you are right in the sense that we've seen a couple of downward revisions from different agencies, even from the central bank, yeah, in terms of projection of economic growth. And this has been more from the breakout of the pandemic rather than any possible limitations in policy. Of course, policies are always going to have different, people are going to have different views on implementation of policies. I think that overall, his appointment shows that the capital markets, that there's going to be some sense of continuity. You know what to expect in terms of what is the policy going forward and what is the expectation for the upcoming budget in terms of the fiscal point of view. And I think this is more of a continuity agenda, providing forms of stability, especially in financial markets.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you brought up the budget because the upcoming parliamentary sitting, of course, the key event would be whether or not a vote of confidence is going to be held. But that aside, the presentation of the 12th Malaysia Plan was announced by the previous Prime Minister to be taking place late September in the upcoming parliamentary sitting, which is going to take place about 2 weeks from now. Do you feel that because the authors relatively didn't change, because the staffing of the cabinet didn't change, and because of the organization or the thinking of the current administration is not much of a departure from the previous administration, we're going to still see the 12th Malaysia Plan being presented in its original shape and form? Or do you feel that there would be some tweaking into how the Prime Minister wants to shape RMK 12 based on his image and his vision?
Well, if you look at the message that we've been receiving from the new Prime Minister starting last Sunday as well as today, you can see that he's been stressing on the need for the private consumption and investment from firms to be the main drivers of the economy. So this is somewhat of a shift from what was done previously, in the sense that previously we had more of a risk or containment strategy, and now we want to focus on a recovery strategy. So I think that what we expect from the 12th Malaysia plan would be a bit more different than what we've seen previously. I think the strategy would be focused on how do we spur growth, how do we bring about investment in all the various areas that we want to focus on. For instance, the focus might shift to more sustainable industries such as renewable energy or green technology. So I think that there will be some tweaking, and largely the shift will be from containment of the pandemic, fallout from the pandemic, the economic fallout, towards a building, rebuilding, or recovery theme. Yeah.
Yeah, but you see, the 12th Malaysia Plan is a very long-term plan. We're talking about 5 to 10 years even. We're talking about generational shifts. Do you feel that these short-term shocks would be imbued in such a long-term handbook?
I think given that it's a five-year plan at the very least, we will see some tweaking going on as we go across the along the timeline. We will see that changes will take place, and these changes will be implemented, as you said, because of the upcoming budget. We tend to see some fine-tuning here and there, but I think as a general, the policy guidance will still be in line with what we've seen so far.
All right, Hafiz, we need to talk about the budget. It's going to take place 10 weeks from now, pardon me, in October. And with the new ministers in place, we now would assume that the new ministers, particularly the ones that have shifted portfolios, for instance, Khairi Jamaluddin to health, and correspondingly Adhan Baba into science and technology, they are going to be able to now finalize or fine-tune some of the wants and wishes of their respective ministries. And I'm sure they're going to get cracking soon in terms of what their wants and wishes would be prior to the development of the budget for 2022. Does this show some form of good governance or some form of continuity of governance at the very least? And that would assuage foreign investors and, of course, domestic investors as well, that government is back in business, that the political pressure, that the political risk is actually being mitigated right now, that it's actually business as usual. Do you feel that that sense of normalcy is now resuming? Or, you know, do you think that the political risk is actually quite still prevalent, that the atmosphere is actually quite high, and that we are just doing cosmetic stuff following the cabinet announcement today? Which one is it?
I think that if you look at the movements on the composite index, especially, yeah, this week we've seen close to 5% upward movement, suggesting that markets have interpreted the smooth transition of power as a positive signal. And I think investors have interpreted this as sort of like it would mean to them that all will remain calm on the political front, especially heading into the next general election. And to a large extent, this will allow us to reduce the political risk premium that you talk about. And this stability will provide a catalyst for in driving private investment. And this is very evident, especially given that the Prime Minister has reached an agreement with the opposition parties from the political front that the focus will now be on the greater good of the people and the overcoming the crisis and the health crisis, as well as focusing on the recovery of the economy. Yeah? I think that the capital markets will now also believe that the future will be more stable going in, at least for the next 2 years. Yeah?
Yeah, it's also important for us to follow through into what you just said just now, which is the relationship that the Prime Minister has, I guess, building with the leaders of opposition. Now that we've seen the cabinet announcement, and it seems like the leader of opposition came out quite strong, criticizing this new cabinet lineup, going so far as saying that this is a recycled lineup, that they have failed for the past 17 months. What could possibly be achieved in the next 100 days when they couldn't do it in 17 months? So that antagonistic kind of tone is still being carried forward. So how do you marry the kind of relationship that they're trying to build over the past 2 or 3 days, going so far as signing a document jointly, and the initial reaction that has come out by the leader of opposition? Are they still at odds with each other, or do you feel that some form of corresponding or collaboration is going to be done as per the agreement that was signed by all parties 2 days ago?
I think that the agreement will still hold, given that the agenda was to sort of like put the people at focus, put the people first rather than political interests. Although I do not think that criticism will not be there. I mean, that probably that you could say that is the role of the opposition, and it provides some means of check and balance that markets tend to appreciate. I think that in that sense, if there are any issues or policy weakness that could be highlighted, and perhaps it will also provide rooms for improvement going forward in that sense. Yeah.
All right. We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Hafiz Ali of Talis University. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back. This is Notepad. My name is Ibrahim Sani, broadcasting live from the work from home structure. Just a quick update. There is a meeting right now happening at the Menara Dato On, where some of the Supreme Council members of AMNO is meeting, perhaps to discuss about the announcement that was made earlier today, which coincides with the fifth day of the Prime Minister taking office earlier today. If you've missed the news, the Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri, has announced his cabinet lineup consisting of 32 ministers, 38 deputy ministers, most of which constitute from the old cabinet members. So here to unpack all this is the Associate Professor Dr. Hafiz Ali Iqbal Hussein, from the Faculty of Business and Law at Talis University. Hafiz, let's talk a little bit about the, I guess, much touted, much celebrated appointment of Kari Jamaluddin being the Health Minister. Throughout the day, I've been telling the people around me that this is more of a confirmation of a role that he has been doing for the past, 1 year. Do you feel that this is an appointment that is quite sound to be made, that this would actually not just help resolve the health crisis quickly, but perhaps try to put investors and business community leaders at ease, that the health ministry got their man, and perhaps we can see the end of this pandemic quite soon?
I think focusing on the signal that's coming out from the Prime Minister's office, based on what he has said so far, he's emphasized on the reopening of the economy, and he's made it very clear that it's going to be done in phases, and these phases need to be supported by the vaccination program. And I think the appointment of YB Kairi has been sort of like a reflection of his good work that we witnessed through the CITF, where we can see as of today, almost 90% of the population in Klang Valley have been fully vaccinated. Now, the challenge that we see, or we think that will come next, is to replicate this success outside of the Klang Valley, yet to support the reopening in stages. Now, the reopening has to happen in stages because we don't want any interruptions. Yeah, we prefer as investors or economists would prefer minimal interruptions. Yeah, this is because if you look at the lead indicators, business confidence are very low. Most sectors, I mean, in fact, all sectors are very pessimistic on the business prospects of this third quarter of this year, with the worst being hit, of course, the retail sector, which depends heavily on foot traffic coming into shops. And you can see that the indicators are indicating that all businesses expect a hit on the top line and bottom line figures. And we find that surveys are telling us that less than 10% plan to hire, about 15% plan to reduce headcounts. Now, if the reopening happens in stages, what we're going to need is also a sound fiscal policy to support this reopening. As businesses reopen, they need customers. Yeah? These customers have been through a prolonged pandemic. They've been losing jobs. They've lost income. And now we need to come up with a strategy of, I think, the best or the easiest and the fastest way would be a direct cash transfer. Direct transfers often result in the best outcomes from, at least from the economic point of view. Yeah, and this has to be done in a very free manner, meaning that there has to be no specific guide as where you can spend this. Yeah, I think that will support the reopening in stages as well.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, as much of a sound economic theory it is, the reality is that the government is truly running out of cash, and I don't know whether the government can pull this off yet again. They have spent billions of dollars or ringgit in terms of stimulus packages that have been rolled out since March last year. The budget is upcoming, and we don't know whether they are going to hit their revenue targets. Already, they were criticised when the budget was presented by Tengku Zafrul last year, setting very lofty targets in terms of revenue earned from taxation, revenue earned from royalties. I don't know whether they're going to get those kind of targets. So, you know, when you say about having sound fiscal policy, I agree. The problem here is that I don't know whether they have the means to get it done. Do you think that they will pull something out of the hat, another rabbit perhaps? Or are we looking at a very dire situation when they present the budget for next year that, you know, all hands are open and we're going to see the realities of the country right now when it comes to the fiscal policy?
Yes, when it comes to that, I think it has to be very focused to avoid the situation that you've just explained, so that the focus has to be on direct transfer to support reopening. The reopening would be very difficult to achieve. Private consumption and investment, for it to take over the main drivers of the economy, has to be given economic freedom. Yeah, so the space has to be created, and these customers have to have some form of spending or purchasing power. Yeah. So this is going to, over the longer run or medium run, is going to reduce reliance on government spending. And then what will happen is that going forward, we see the revenue recovery from next year onwards, assuming that the pandemic is contained and the vaccines work as we want them to. Yeah. Okay. And of course, the public debt situation is worrying, but I think in that sense, probably we still have some fiscal space left to allow us to go for this. But it has to be very focused and it has to involve both businesses and consumers. Yeah. Now, once we get that, we're going to see a sustainable recovery, and we're going to see a recovery which is driven by real economic activity, which comes from economic freedom or the reopening in stages.
Yeah. Yeah, moving from the economy to now the business space, it is earnings season. Petronas very recently have announced their second quarter results. Most banks' second quarter results are also in. They're registering quite healthy profits, to be frank. Do you feel that some of these sectors are going to be hit with some sort of windfall tax or some measure resembling that? Do you feel that we need to get more from these corporates right now? Do you feel that that is the right move?
I think that rather than focusing on windfall tax, the correct or the better approach is to allow these domestic firms to expand and reinvest back capital into their business to create more jobs and high-paying jobs. I think that if we introduce windfall tax, we are going to send out a signal to the market that we don't value innovation, we don't value resilience. I think if you look at the approach that was adopted in South Korea and Singapore maybe 10 or 20 years ago, a lot of the domestic champions were not given or not put on, weren't taxed heavily and were given lots of incentives and subsidies to allow them to grow into world-class companies, the Samsungs and the LGs. All of these have come about because of the support given by the fiscal side of it. They've not been they've been given lots of leeway and lots of benefits from the local domestic governments. Yeah.
But the reality is that their retained earnings rose year on year. It doesn't seem like they're investing money into capital, either talent building or rehiring people. It seems like they're keeping the profits for themselves. Yeah, that's the data that shows us. So how do you see this for this year then?
I think that if there is a good opportunity to reinvest, at the end of the day, this capital would belong to shareholders. And if we have sufficient number of strong shareholders, then I think that there could be pressure on reinvestment. I think the ballooning of balance sheets will disappear once the economy picks up. I mean, you expect that profitable firms would accumulate retained earnings during recessions because they don't have that many profitable projects to invest in. Okay, so expansion at this point of time might be difficult, so which is why rather than introducing the windfall tax or focusing on collecting more corporate tax, the idea is that we should incentivize this reinvestment rather than going the other way around. Yeah?
All right, thank you very much. That was Associate Professor Dr. Hafiz Ali Iqbal Hussain of the Faculty of Business and Law at Taylor's University. Continue to stay with us on Astro Hour. We're going to be bringing you all the breaking news coming in from the weekend following the announcement of the cabinet. I'm pretty sure that all the ministers, newly sworn in ministers, will definitely be making their own announcements in the next days or in the next few weeks to come. But for now, enjoy your weekend. Have a great weekend ahead. My name is Ibrahim Sani. You're watching Notepad. Stay with us on Astro Awani.